Seekers! Old Billy Mordecai here again. This time we're bringing you Haunted Laser Tag at the Westlake Landfill. If you're local to the area, you'll know that is the landfill that is covered in radiation and also on fire. That's pretty scary on its own. But we have a whole bunch of teenagers that we put blood packs on. And when you hit them with the laser tag, they explode. And they're dressed up like zombies, so, you know, that's kind of creepy. Sweet simulated violence against children. If you have any concerns about either the fire or radiation, let me remind you that there will be a lighted walkway to steer you guys away from both the fire and the parts of the landfill that are irradiated. I've been promised by the municipal government that nobody will be in any imminent danger by walking on top of the fire. If you have concerns, there will be fireproof clothing available at the entrance. Unfortunately, we did not have any money to build stalls, so you'll have to do it back in the camper. Thrill seekers, our piles of flaming garbage are magnificent. Interweaving between the piles of burning trash will be many targets that you can hit with the laser, and then the blood packs go off, and then the zombies are dead. It'll be like a Fallout Wasteland adventure. And if you like pets, we partner with several local animal shelters to release their animals into the landfill. And you can dodge them and run over them or, you know, whatever. They're unadoptable. These are animals nobody could love with many behavioral problems. Some of them might even have diseased mouths. Thrill seekers, I know last year you liked Mama's lunch on the haunted float trip. So this year we decided to do it again. Unfortunately, several of the shelter animals got into the cooler, and there's not really any money to replace it. But come down anyway and bring a sack lunch. Thrill seekers, do you like Batman? Well, we got Burt Ward, and he'll be down here signing autographs. For $20, you can get a picture taken with him, and I'll personally print it out on my laser jet. Come on down to the Haunted Laser Tag at the Westlake Landfill. We will have both radiation and garbage fires. Bring a Coke can for 10% off. This show is a proud sponsor of WFOD.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. It's spooky month.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
Sup?
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
In honor of Spooky Month and to celebrate Samhain, I've decided to bring our listeners back to the edge of the other world. I've scoured through hundreds of hours of interviews and read countless documents to bring them a few of the most haunted places. This year we travel across the pond to merry old England, or should I say, scary old England. I'll feature one of the spooky sites each week, and together we'll figure out what makes each of these locations so disturbing. We'll take the listeners on a tour of these devilish destinations so they don't have to experience the terror firsthand. Or I'll feature them so they can travel to one of these spooktacular sites at their own peril. This week I bring you the Ancient Ram Inn.
Ram in where?
It's in England.
What's the ram ramming?
It's ramming your senses with its haunted spirits.
The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Boy, howdy, do we have a show for you tonight. Not one, but two great guests coming up on the show. And I also have to tell you about my week.
Excellent.
In drinks.
Better excellent.
Travis, I've had amazing week in drinks.
In drinks, okay.
Wednesday, I started my work week, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Taco Bell.
Sure.
I got one of their big boxes, which comes with a medium beverage.
That is a hell of a deal as well, but when you're done eating one of their big boxes, you feel pretty satisfied for $5.
Travis, when I got up to the counter, I gave the guy my $5.40.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me my meal. He gave me a drink, and then he asked me if I wanted a second drink.
What?
He said he poured an extra one, asked me if I wanted it.
That's very nice of him.
So I took the drink, right? Because he offered me a free drink. Why not?
Of course.
Thursday. Work catered lunch. Didn't go out. Friday, went to McDonald's, Travis. I got there 2 for $5. I got 2 Big Macs and a large Coke.
McPick 2.
Got up to the counter. They said, hey, we accidentally poured an extra medium drink. You want a second drink? I said, yes, I do. Now, this happened 2 instances of going to fast food restaurants in a row, right? So I'm starting to think something's fishy.
Did you tell that McDonald's person that had already happened to you once that week?
I did not, but I went back and I told my bosses and I asked them what it meant. And they told me, well, 2 in a row, that happens. But 3 in a row, then you can start being concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next day, went to White Castle, Travis. Just got 1 drink.
Okay. So it's broken.
Story's not over yet, though, Travis.
Oh, my God.
So I'm thinking, guys, my week in drinks is over, right? Nothing exciting else can happen with this. It was just a weird coincidence that I was given 2 free drinks in 2 instances of fast food restaurant patronage in a row. Sunday, me and the lady, we go to Panda Express. We go through the line. We're checking out. They're out of my delicious cashew shrimp. So the guy, he looks at us and he says, hey, would you like some drinks while you wait?
I bet you did.
I did, Travis. I did. So in 4 days, I acquired 4 free drinks.
Mm.
And now I can start to be concerned, right?
What is happening?
Why are these
free drinks drawn to you?
What is going on with these free drinks? Do you think that it's a omen? Do you think that, you know, things are gonna come back full circle and I'm going to be punished for my free drinks?
The only way to test it out is to swing into a tavern and see if that'll work with alcoholic beverages.
That's what my boss said too.
Yep.
Said he, you know, it's kind of a bummer that it's happening with soda pops and not in alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think this is weird? You don't think that this is a sign of things to come? You don't think
I personally thought the second time was weird. So three times, yeah.
The third time, though, Travis, I was given 2 free drinks to make up for the 1 time I didn't get a free drink.
Unbelievable.
Well, I guess that means you're going to be shorted 4 drinks in the near future.
You think that's what it means? Drink karma will come back on me?
Yin and yang, it's got a balance, I think.
Yeah, you're gonna order a large, they're gonna hand you a medium, and you're gonna say, "Hey, what about my large?" They're gonna look at you and say, "What about it?"
Or it's gonna balance out where you don't check your bag of food, and you're gonna get back to work, and there's gonna be most of it's missing.
See, but I feel as though these people are in on it, and they know that I'm a paranoid man by nature, and that I'm gonna be worried about this. And so I'm not just going to look a gift course in the mouth. I'm going to look for the meaning in it.
So you think the Taco Bell guy called the McDonald's guy, and then the McDonald's guy called the Panda Express guy?
No, I think that it's our owners, you know, the people watching.
Big Brother is giving you free drinks.
They just want to see how I'm going to react.
Is it the Illuminati trying to shovel Mike Moore down?
I purchased a large Halloween fun pack of Rice Krispie treats. You know, I was walking down the aisle and I saw a big box of Rice Krispie treats and I just thought, oh, that looks kind of good. I haven't had a Rice Krispie treat in a while. So I bought this $7 box of Rice Krispie treats that I imagine was intended to be a Halloween trick-or-treat thing for a neighborhood full of children.
Yeah, hand them out.
And I've just had them in my car as car snacks. And I've pretty much eaten the entire box of 60 Rice Krispie treats in like 3 or 4 days. I just pound them one after another on my whole way to work, my whole way home from work. I just eat Rice Krispie treat after Rice Krispie treat. I can't stop. It's not good to have car snacks, Travis. Because what are you doing in your car?
Car snacks.
You're not doing anything. You're just driving and you're thinking. And usually when I'm driving and I'm thinking, I'm hungry. And so I've just been filling fast food bags with empty Rice Krispie treat wrappers and then throwing them away at gas stations.
You know, Mike, I'd take off my shirt if it was funny and not sad. But if you could look at my chest, that kind of resembles a pug puppy's face. That's what you're headed for, these car snacks. That's how it starts.
I'd cut that out of your life, the car snack.
You don't have a car snack thing? That's not a
There's
thing?
There's no cut. No, that's not a thing.
Napier, you have car snacks, right?
Yeah, I used to get hot dogs at Quick Trip all the damn time.
And then you just had a whole back seat full of those little plastic hot dog holder things.
Yeah, but then I moved on to something even healthier, which is Slim Jims, and I eat them along with a bag of plain Lay's, so I get the salty potato chips and the smoky meat from the Slim Jim. Eat them both at the same time. That way I can eat them quicker.
Anchor in the chat room says that's why he drives a manual transmission, so that he can't reach for food.
And apparently they can't steal it neither.
I saw that. Somebody returned a stolen car because it was a manual.
Yeah, fuck that.
Drunk is here, guys. Hi, Drunk.
Hello.
How do you feel about car snacks? Do you ever just keep snacks in your car for when you're driving?
I have a couple of granola bars and some fruit snacks in my glove box.
Just in case of emergency? Like in case you get snowed in?
Yep.
Always be prepared. That's the Boy Scout way.
A blanket, a hoodie, all that shit stays in the car. Bottle of water.
How have you been? Have you been good?
Very well, thank you.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You look well.
Thank you.
Are you having a good week?
Yeah.
Did anything noteworthy happen?
Nope.
How's your dressers?
They're coming along.
What do you mean they're coming along?
My lady friend has decided that she wanted to sand and stain one of them.
One of the dressers. I thought she did, and it was ruined, and you had to get rid of it.
She did on one of them, so she's making attempt number two.
Is she on that Pinterest? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, she's silly. Like, she took off all the knobs and spray-painted them a different color. She literally did that to all the knobs in my house.
All the knobs? She got different knobs? You know that?
No, she just took them off and spray-painted them a different color.
What color did she spray-paint them?
Some of them are like a silver, and then some of them are like a I believe the color is hammered copper.
Hammered copper, Napier.
I'm a fan of brushed nickel myself.
Is that your favorite? Is the brushed nickel?
I do enjoy it.
I don't think I've ever been so bored that I'm going to take everything that's shiny out of my out of my house and then spray paint it a different color.
A different color, shiny. Yeah.
I got all these Krylon spray paints and I need shit to do with them.
Drunk. How many times would you have to go to a restaurant and get a complimentary extra free drink before you started to be kind of suspicious of it?
Three.
Three is his number.
Three is the magic number?
Yeah. What if on the third time they gave you two free drinks?
Well, on the third time there was two people there, so it's a little different.
It's not a little different, Travis. He handed me both of the cups.
Yeah, but you were with her.
I was just nice enough to give one to her.
So I guess this is, you go to a place that you've been frequenting and they've been giving you free
drinks. I've been getting free drinks at all kinds of places. I've been traveling around the St. Louis area just acquiring free drinks.
Yeah?
I'm starting to get really worried about it.
How do you go about doing that? I want to try that.
Maybe they think you're beautiful. They're trying to keep you in there so more customers will show up.
Is this a lady?
Oh, it's like when gas stations give free coffee to police officers.
Are they ladies giving you free drinks, or is it males and females?
The first one was a male.
Uh-huh.
The second one was a female. The third one was a male. So I've gotten two from males, one from females.
Maybe it's
if this trend continues and there's a pattern, if you get him from a female next, then I'd really be worried.
Oh, so like if it goes male, female, male, female, male,
yeah,
female?
Yeah, Then it's really strange.
So if I drive up to a drive-through window and I hear a guy, I should just drive off.
Yep, just get out of there.
Yeah, because that'll break the pattern. And then it will be too hard to fix and discover, and it'll be chaos is what it'll be.
You should ask them what their intentions are when they hand you free things.
Guys, I mean, we do have multiple guests in this episode. We've never had two guests in one episode before.
Really? I feel like that's false.
Yeah, I also feel like that's not true.
Yeah, we have
two different guests talking about two different things spread out over the course of an episode. We've never done that before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I feel like we have.
We've never done that before, guys. I'm the WFOD historian. Don't question my knowledge.
Okay. I don't think you know about them because the guests weren't you.
We're going to be joined momentarily by John Fallon, the filmmaker whose film The Shelter is coming on video on demand November 4th. And then after that, we are going to be joined by presidential candidate Joe Exotic.
Excellent. Joe Exotic.
We are going to make America exotic again. Travis, what else do we have? Do we have other things? I mean, you already blew your spooky destination.
I just felt like it called for it in the moment. Did you see? I don't know. You might have saw me post a picture of this. I usually don't get candy bars at work during the day because I feel like that'll lead me to things like car snacks. But I was walking by the vending machine at work today, and it was almost like that light from the briefcase in Pulp Fiction was shining at me. And it drew my eye to the vending machine, and I saw a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup package that didn't look familiar to me. And upon further inspection...
Is it the one with the Reese's Pieces in it?
They fucking put Reese's Pieces in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Have you seen this?
Travis, those are so good.
They're amazing! I had no idea they existed until today in my shitty work vending machine. And I almost didn't want to eat it because it sounded too good. And I didn't want the illusion shattered, but holy Christ, it was amazing.
So you avoid eating things because you're afraid that you'll like them?
I avoid eating things because I'm afraid to go down that rabbit hole of I love eating snacks, so I'm going to continue to eat snacks until I'm a fat, fat, fat shell of a man.
It's okay.
What are you trying to say, Travis?
Hey, look, you take your blood pressure medicine, everything's cool, whatever.
Just monitor the blood pressure and it's all good.
Yeah,
you'll be fine. I have a very addictive personality and I don't need to start falling victim to my snack cravings.
Just eat bland rice cakes until you eventually die sad and alone.
Hey, I had three salads for lunch last week in three different days, and I enjoyed
I thought he was saying he ate three salads in one sitting.
Not in one sitting.
I was going to say, no, you just had one really big-ass salad.
They were in three different bowls.
What'd you have for dinner tonight, Travis? Three salads. I had a salad as the side, then a salad as the main course, and for dessert, salad.
So back to the car snacks thing. So do you also keep like car ibuprofen and car Tums and car like Pepto or Benadryl? Or?
Just a really large box of Rice Krispie Treats.
Well, you did have a really large box of Rice Krispie Treats.
Yeah, now I just have a big empty cardboard box.
Because you ate them all?
Because I ate them all.
And sometimes you sit in traffic and get hungry.
You can fill the empty box with your shame.
It's probably not a big enough box.
But yeah, car painkillers and car like Tum-Tum medicine is also smart.
Dental floss. Gotta have dental floss.
Oh yeah, gotta have dental floss.
And jumper cables and all that shit too. I mean, gotta be prepared.
Well, see, I don't have jumper cables in my car because I don't think I would know how to hook them up anyway.
Well,
that's what I use as an excuse. Like, I'm gonna be like, guy, I need somebody to come help me with these jumper cables because I don't have jumper cables.
Well, that's why you pull up to a guy, you find somebody that looks like they know what they're doing and say, hey, could you help me? And then just hand him the end?
No, because then you have to admit that you don't know how to use jumper cables. But if you don't have jumper cables, you have to consult someone who does. And then theoretically, if they have the jumper cables, if they're their jumper cables, they'll probably just do it for you because they're the prepared ones. They know what they're doing. I don't have one. I need help.
I don't have them either, but that's because I don't want to be obligated to help people.
It's like having a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to have a truck because then you got to help people move.
All you got to do is tell people you don't have any jumper cables. It's very simple.
No, then I'll feel bad. Now I don't have any. I've put my life at risk probably just because I don't want to feel bad when somebody says, hey, man, can you jump my car?
You put the red one. Let me see if I got this. You put the red one on the minus, right? And the black one on the plus.
No.
Other way around.
Yeah, you put the black one on the plus and the red one on the minus.
It's all color coordinated. Red on red, black on black.
But no, it's not. It's just a plus and a minus, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah, they're color coded. Either way, I'd blow that battery up. I'd be dead.
And then you want to do the black one first.
That's correct.
And then the red one second.
Yes.
And then you want to put it on the car that's running first.
Correct.
See, I got this. I need to see gun jumper.
You know what you're doing.
You still need a second car either way, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but this is America, and we got a shit ton of cars. Where aren't you going to see a second car?
Yeah, but then, you can't just pop somebody's hood. You have to get their permission first.
Nope, you don't have to. Just get on in there.
Drunk. That's not the way we do business around here. You have to ask people's permission before you get in there.
You can buy one of those like jumper cables that has the battery attached to it. That way you don't even need a second car.
I went to Red Lobster this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
I got to listen to an end of the world speech by a bunch of compounders while they were having their fucking Red Lobster.
What's a compounder?
People that I assume live in a end of the world compound because they kept talking to this one dude
like a bunker?
Yeah, like a bunker. Only it's, probably gated off and it's got, flags everywhere and really creepy fucks like the people that we saw are in there. And these people were going on about how you have to make decisions based on what's a coming because there are sidelines being drawn up and woo and shit.
Woo?
Yeah, because you don't want to be left behind. If you're left behind, then woo. And these dudes
left behind where?
I wherever they're not taking this guy because he didn't, sign the right amount of check.
Like here?
Probably not here. I don't know.
Are we going to Mars?
I don't know where they're going, but apparently it's real damn important to get there.
Whoa.
I had to listen to that my entire fucking meal of these guys just going on about the end times and how all of these people are going to be left.
In the chat, he said red first, dead first. I thought it was red first, black second, right?
Red first is dead. That's how you die.
So I got to remember that little rhyme now. See, that's the kind of stuff that they need to teach you in school. No, I haven't used trigonometry once. I need to know how to jump start a car is what I need to know.
Because here's what's going to happen.
My car's going to die.
Here's what happens when you learn that rhyme. You learn red first, dead first. 10 years later, you're going to go, how did that rhyme go? Oh, yeah, red first, zap, dead.
Yeah, no, they need to teach you that in school. They need to teach you how to make a good steak. They need to teach you probably like CPR. That would probably be helpful.
So how do you make a bad steak?
Shut up, drunk.
I mean, aren't all steaks delicious?
No, you can fuck up a steak. I fuck up every time I cook a steak. I either cook it too long or I don't cook it long enough, and then I got to heat it back up, and it's never right.
Yeah.
The only time I get a good steak is when I go to a restaurant or when I talk Napier into making steak.
Or you could go on YouTube and listen to the Gordon Ramsay.
I watched the Gordon Ramsay. He makes it look effortless. I don't do it right.
It is effortless. You put the steak on a hot pan, and then you come back in a few minutes, and then you flip it over, and then you're like, okay, a few more minutes have passed. It goes on the plate, and then you leave it there for about 5 minutes.
First of all, you just said put a steak in a pan. That's all wrong.
I agree with you,
Travis. What are you going to do, bake a steak, Travis?
No, you fucking grill it always. You right. always grill a
Out
steak.
On the grill, then you got to get charcoal, and you got to let it heat up. I just want to eat a steak, like now.
You're fucking up all your steaks.
No, you just need a cast iron pan. That's all you need.
You need a good pan, and you need some butter.
And you need to hit yourself in the head with it and walk outside and grill that fucking steak.
I'm on Travis's side.
Well, guys, it is the penultimate episode of this year's Spooky Month.
Spooky Month.
Except for next week's, which is going to be better that nobody will listen to.
Happy belated birthday to horror icon Sam Raimi.
Excellent.
We will not be live next week. Next week is Halloween. We will be celebrating the season as we are excited about Halloween in these parts. There will be a pre-recorded episode of which we have already recorded. So a spoiler alert, me and Travis call each other fuck faces a lot. Me and Travis have been quarreling lately, Napier.
So do you know what you're going
to
be?
It seems like me and Travis, we say fuck you to each other way more than we used to. I think the honeymoon period is over. It's about time.
Jeez,
me and Travis, we're in a bitter romance at this point.
No, here we go, a quarreling we go.
Look, it's locker room talk. That's how guys interact with each other.
I might grab you by the pussy.
But guys, we are going to take a break. We're going to hear from the redneck chef of the Ozarks, and we will be back in just a few short minutes with the filmmaker for the film The Shelter.
It's awesome.
Mr. John Fallon. It's on video on demand November 4th, so check that out. Travis is a big fan of the actor in that movie.
Michael Perry.
Which I had never heard of. He looked a lot like Roddy Piper to me.
I could see that.
Guys, if you look at that Michael Perry guy, you tell me he doesn't look like Roddy Piper. You post pictures of Michael Perry in the chat room, and we can all talk about whether or not he looks like Roddy Piper. But we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for sticking with us. Strong turnout in the chat. I appreciate all of you. We'll be right back.
This is Strange Label.
Little Bonnie Foo-Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Hi there. I'm Wilbald, redneck chef of the Ozarks. Tonight, we're gonna make us deep fried oven roasted turkey legs in honor of Samhain. Won't you come down and join me? Now, it is important to get fresh legs for your roasting. That's why I trapped 9 wild turkeys and de-legged them myself about an hour ago. My daddy was a fisherman and a big believer in catch and release. So let all my turkeys go free after the harvest. That way, we'll have more legs next year when they grow back. Contrary to popular belief, turkeys don't need their legs to fly or scream. Now let's defeat and feather our garden fresh turkey legs. And there we go. Much better looking now. We gotta brine our turkey legs so they get juicy. I have these old paint buckets I stole from some road workers, and these'll work just fine. Here you add your salts and peppers and assorted spices to your paint buckets. Then fill them with garden fresh river water that you got from the river. I like to add a little venison to the brines for that extra meaty flavor. These chunks I had left over from my deer harvest last year. If you don't have the fridge space for your buckets, don't worry. I like to keep mine in the basement, where I've been told it's very dark and very cold. After 24 hours, or one day if you ain't so good at the math books, we can harvest our legs from the buckets. Now, we'll roast these with our garden fresh veggies we got at the Walmart. Set your oven to 350 degrees, and we'll give it about 1.5 hours. While you wait, get your indoor turkey deep fryer set up to fry at 400 and fill it to the brim with oil. This way, you can fry all 18 legs at once, and real fast too. Sounds like the legs are ready. Come on, Patches. Let's stand real close to the fryer while I dump in all our turkey legs. Oh God, Patches! How did this happen? We followed the directions from the truck driver exactly. Oh God, everything's on fire! Oh God, it's burning! Oh God, it's burning! Well, time to get us a new house and shed. Wonder where we're off to next. Hope you enjoyed some cooking with me tonight, boy. Next episode, we'll show you how to make your own barbecue sauce by combining several other barbecue sauces.
Little Bonnie Foo Foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen Stefani, and you are listening to
WFOD.
Welcome back. Our first guest is filmmaker John Fallon, whose new psychological thriller, The Shelter, opens in theaters and video on demand November 4th. John.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. I can't complain.
Travis.
Yes, sir.
John Fallon.
John Fallon. Pleasure to have you here. It looks like you're making the rounds with The Shelter. It looks like it's been a long time coming, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I call it my full-time job that doesn't pay, but I love every second of it. This is the fun part.
Is it the fun part?
Well, writing it was fun. Pre-production was fun. Production was fun. Post-production was a complete... Am I allowed to swear on this show?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Post-production was a complete fucking nightmare just because of just weird... fucking mishaps that kept happening.
Do you just you keep tinkering, right? It never feels done.
Well, it's never done. It's not done in my book, and I've learned that the hard way. It's a bit like a script, you know. It's I think there's an old saying or something: any piece of art is never finished; it's abandoned. So, that is true.
Fine, I guess it's done.
Yeah, it's fucking done. You know. So, but in terms of The Shelter, no, it was more just. Technical mishaps and just really weird weird shit that kept happening, man. So that's the easiest way I could put it. Just weird shit and shit that's out of the ordinary that kept befalling us, and corrupted footage, freeze, the post-production screen freezing with 666 appearing everywhere for out of fucking nowhere, and just weird shit.
That's not good. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was not amazing to live, my friend.
I can't imagine. Do you feel like you brought that upon yourself by putting out a movie with the sort of content that's in there?
Yes, I did, to be honest. I'm a very skeptical person.
Sure.
At a certain point, you have to start thinking, all right, what's going on here, man? You know, what's really going on?
And John. Like,
it's not all serendipitous. Just listen to Mike's story about how he's gotten free beverages three times this week from three different fast food restaurants.
I've gotten four free beverages this week, John. Giving me free beverages. I order one drink. They give me two drinks.
It must be your cologne.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. What are you wearing?
I don't wear. I guess it's just my alpha male scent.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah.
I would say that this movie that you made is a thinking man's movie.
Yes, sir.
It's open to interpretation. My interpretation that it was a cautionary philandering tale.
You could see it that way. I'm going to actually paraphrase David Lynch here because I was kind of inspired by him. He said about a film that I worship called Lost Highway. He said, "I know what it means to me, but you know it could mean whatever it means to you." So, and to some degree, in The Shelter, that was my approach. You know, being it's a low budget film, I could take chances, I could do things outside the mold. With that said, I have a clear vision of what it's about. And actually, on the commentary on the DVD, I kind of give little hints here and there, and just kind of like connecting dots for people if they give a shit.
But have people come to you and given you interpretations, and you kind of look at them and say, "No, man, you're wrong."
No. I mean, I think, "No, man, that's not what I mean." But I don't say, "No, man, you're wrong." I've had people that actually got it. So that was surprising. When I was at the Fright Fest Film Festival, after the screening, I had this one chick that came up to me in tears. Like, you know, that's the only person, you know, I was in tears when in post-production, but she was in tears because she saw the movie. And she hugged me. She's like, "Thank you so much, you know, because of you, you know, I'm rethinking my faith." And for me, I was like, "Whoa, that's pretty fucking cool. So I'll take it, you know." So I think that your spiritual upbringing will somewhat define what you get out of it, you know, as much as like I have a friend who's an atheist and he saw it. And, you know, everything that's religious went completely over his head, but yeah, it's fucking good. So, guy, he's fucked up the house. Like, you know, hey, man, if that's what you get out of it and you enjoy it, all I care about is if you enjoy it, you know. So, if you enjoy it, it's good with me, yeah.
So, John, you have a lot of credits under your cap. You, the actor, crewman, you've written a handful of other scripts, correct?
Yes, sir.
What was it about this one that made it?
What's happening to Travis?
Yeah, you guys are breaking up on me, man.
What's happening to Travis? Travis, are you okay?
He's watching The Shelter. That's the problem.
He went all robot. We just did the first half of the show, and he sounded fine. Then he goes to ask a question, and he goes to shit.
Of course.
There he is.
There you go, Travis. You're better now.
Okay, here. So I'm going to try this again, but I'll condense it. With the previous scripts that you wrote and everything, what made this the one that you wanted to direct for your first time?
Well, you know, some of the scripts I've written, you know, commissioned, you know, so where it's other people's ideas and I wrote them for them.
Sure.
Other scripts I thought I would direct, but, you know, it didn't happen. With The Shelter, it's so personal and it's so weird that there's no fucking way I could have seen anybody directed by myself, you know? And if somebody, you know, director would read that shit and he'd be like, "Yeah, no, fuck you, I'm out." So, and you know what? I was very passionate about it. And, you know, it's really a film I wanted to make, a story I wanted to tell. So I'm happy I got to do it.
I saw another interview with you where you said that you almost had to star in the movie because Michael Perez almost couldn't make it.
Yeah, no, that was Louisiana had actually on one night that we shot, it was the coldest night in like 33 years that they had in Louisiana. So that was a lot of fun. But right before Mike flew down, there was snowstorms. It was a complete fucking nightmare to get him to Louisiana. And I had a bit of a stubble at the time. So I'm like, you know what? Worst case scenario, I'll play the fucking lead and direct. So, worst case scenario. But thank God we finally got Mike down. He showed up, rushed the set, blew us all away, and that was that on that.
Let me ask you a question about Mike. Yeah. Is he cool with asking Eddie and the Cruisers questions?
Yeah, he is, actually. I think he is.
I'm curious, because big fan of him going back to Eddie and the Cruisers and Streets of Fire. It was great to see him in this movie. I thought he did a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, you know, like, really, I personally cannot think of any other actor that could have played that part as well.
So being a film critic yourself, do you kind of get nervous putting yourself out there and directing a movie that, you know, some people might seek revenge on you?
No, I mean, if that's what...
I guess if people say bad shit, who really cares?
No, dude, you know, I mean, I've been going through that whole spiel, you know, every movie I've written, you know, some people will review them and, you know, and I could see it's personal. It has nothing to do with the movie. They just hate my guts. You know, and I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that, you know, I reviewed a movie badly in the past or anything like that. I just think it has something to do with the fact, I think envy, you know, a friend of mine had told me this and it stuck with me. He said, you know, everybody wants to be higher up. So, you know, usually the DP wants to be the director and the producer wants to be the DP. And, you know, a lot of film critics are bitter towards filmmakers. So imagine how some film critics will be bitter towards a quote unquote film critic who actually directs a film. So he's like, brace yourself, dude. And I'm like, you know, whatever, man. I've had it all tossed at me already. So I really don't care.
And here's the penultimate question. You have to get asked this every time you do an interview. I need to know, what was the meaning behind the half-eaten apple and the blue raspberry sucker on the nightstand when he's having sex in the beginning of the movie?
Actually, that was 20 minutes in. That was the flashback when he's having sex with that redhead there.
I could not get the imagery of the blue raspberry sucker and the half-eaten apple on the nightstand out of my head.
That's what Travis took from the movie. That's what it meant to him.
Well, it was actually
gotta be meaning there.
It was going to be the poster, to be honest. Was, you know, half-eaten apple and that little sucker thing right there, you know. But marketing people send no dice. But I mean, you know, a chick sucking a sucker is hot. And a half-eaten apple is obviously a reference to Adam and Eve.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, so it did have meaning. See, it's one of them thinking man's movies, Travis. I told you.
It was actually totally an on-the-fly idea, really. Somebody was eating an apple. I'm like, hey, give me that. Let me put it on a fucking table. You know, it's just a little reference. Why not?
Did Travis die again? This is going great, guys.
You want to sing a song?
Yeah, sing a song for us, John.
Somewhere over the rainbow, apples are bitten. Suckers rest on tables until Travis returns.
What'd you think of the PK Subban trade there, John?
Shit. I was actually happy about it, to be honest.
You don't like the PK Subban?
Oh, I love PK Subban. I think he's a fantastic player, but you know, our team was at the bottom of the barrel with him last year. So it's not like he's saving our asses.
Shake something up.
And you know, obviously he's not getting along with management and he's not getting along with some of the locker rooms, it doesn't take anything away from him as a player. He's a fantastic player. I think he just wasn't with the wrong group. So that's what I got out of it.
So it's going to be on video on demand November 4th. What locations can you get that? You get that on the iTunes and the Amazons and the...
Yeah, the usual suspects, on demand, Amazon. They don't tell me anything.
And it's playing in select theaters in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, it's going to play for a week in LA, I know. And I'm pretty sure it's going to play for a week in Toronto in Canada. But don't quote me on it. It's, you know, I'm learning as everybody is learning. That's just how it is.
So you go out there, you check out John Fallon's directorial debut, The Shelter.
Yes, please. And
November 4th.
And where can they follow you on Twitter? How is it? Just John Fallon, like Mike said it was earlier?
Shut up, Travis.
You know what? It's because of that guy that I had to call myself John H. Fallon, because that John Fallon guy had taken the handle. So, yeah, it's John H. Fallon, and I'm also on Facebook, and I don't know what my thing is, but let me check. Did you guys see the movie, by the way?
We did.
What'd you think?
Well, me and Travis saw it. Napier and Drunk, they don't
participate. They don't watch anything.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook / Fallon and Johnny. Well, that's eloquent. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, thanks, John. We appreciate you doing the show. We enjoyed your movie. We'll try doing it again next time.
Definitely, guys. Have yourself a great night.
Thanks, too. John. Appreciate it.
Drunk, you actually turn your microphone off?
I wasn't gonna.
Hey, that's a Travis move.
I wasn't gonna ask a question. Why keep
Travis?
The microphone
Travis,
on?
What happened to your connection there, buddy?
You guys were sounding like robots again, so I was trying to tinker.
It was sad. It was making me
I heard him singing. I didn't want to interrupt his singing.
He was good.
He kind of sounded like that George St. Pierre.
You don't get many interviews where they request that you sing a song. I would imagine. So that's unique for us. Maybe that can
we should
be
do
our
that.
New...
We should, yeah, that's our new thing. Everybody that comes on the show has to sing a song that they make up on the fly. We're gonna get a lot of guests.
Travis, we fucking stink, man.
Well, how come everything works out just fine, and then we bring filmmaker John Fallon on, and then robots?
Right.
Happen?
I mean, you know, we have a detailed conversation about my drinks.
Your free drinks. I get to talk about Reese's peanut butter cups with Reese's pieces in them. All that works out just fine. And then I try to ask a two-part question about why he decided to make this his directorial debut and robots.
Robots. We might have to figure that out, Travis. We got to figure out what's the deal is.
It's a really, it's probably a really good plan.
Yeah. So I guess in a few minutes, we are going to have another guest. We are going to be joined by presidential candidate Joe Exotic, who has 216 tigers, Napier.
That's a lot of tigers.
That is a great number of tigers. He has other animals, too.
If you were to make an army of something, do you think the 200 number would be like enough?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an tigers, army of lime.
Sure. See, I'd say... You have 216 or 214 tigers. I apologize. 214 tigers. This Joe Exotic has.
Isn't that like an endangered animal? Is there even 214 tigers in the wild?
Well, I would imagine there's probably more.
I guess
because really, I mean I've seen tigers that Joe Exotic doesn't own.
Yeah.
I guess it really only takes one.
I mean, I've gone to zoos and seen tigers that weren't Joe Exotic's tigers.
I've seen a tiger in an aquarium before. That was pretty.
I can guarantee that if Joe Exotic's number is accurate, there are at least 217 tigers.
Drunk, to answer your question, as of March 20th, 2016, there are an estimated 3,200 tigers left in the wild.
There's 3,200 tigers, and Joe Exotic has 214 of them.
That's a pretty good chunk.
See, but I'd say 214 tigers, Travis, is too many tigers.
I would not want to care for that many tigers.
I want to know.
Could you imagine how much meat it costs?
Yeah,
like,
I
want to
know what Joe's meat budget is.
Right.
I want to know a lot of things. I guess we'll get into the issues.
I guess we'll have the interview when he's on.
But I mean, I'd say if you have 214 tigers and you lose like five tigers, you probably wouldn't even notice. Like there'd just be five tigers elsewhere in the world that.
Well elsewhere in the world. Really
I mean, how would you even
to...
get an accurate count, Napier? How would you make sure you have all your tigers?
If I had tigers, as in multiple tigers, I'd want to know exactly how many of them I had.
Yeah. I mean, do you tag them? Do you tag the tiger?
Get them collars. Like,
you tag a tiger on his tail?
You get those collars with those RFID chips in them, or you know how they keep you from stealing at the Walgreens.
And then you just you got some GPS on there, and you just you do a GPS check on your tigers, and you say, all the tigers are here. Yeah. Either that, or they bit their chip off.
No, you'll see them like roaming around. Because, you know, they're alive.
I don't know.
So do you think a tiger is tasty? Like they're good to eat?
I doubt it.
Like eat a tiger? He doesn't eat tigers.
No, they're not.
He raises not for food. It's a tiger sanctuary.
Too muscly, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if there's like 3,000 of them left.
Well, listen here, though. That's 3,200 tigers left in the wild. According to the WWF... There are more tigers, between 5,000 and 7,000 tigers, living in captivity in the USA.
Who said that? Jake the Snake? Which WWF guy said that?
I think.
Listen, brother.
Travis?
I'm pretty sure it was Hacksaw Jim Dugan.
Hacksaw Jim Dugan counted the tigers?
Yep.
So the WWF has a higher tiger count.
Well, of in-captive tigers.
tiger uppercut.
Yeah, I guess you really don't want a whole bunch of tigers like just running around. That seems pretty dangerous.
Isn't that kind of what they do?
Well, no, most of them aren't.
Yeah, I guess not anymore.
Well, Mike has removed his headphones. I think is it time for break, or is Mike just done listening to us?
Really hot, guys. Really hot.
I guess that's how you got all them sodas.
Yeah. I'm very warm. I think when we go on break, I'm going to change into a t-shirt.
Excellent.
But I mean, the candidates, Travis, that we have in this is election.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great candidates.
Not really. No.
They're not very liked. I think they were like 65% unfavorable. And so, I mean, you know, this Joe Exotic, he's a likable guy.
They're bad enough to where I said who we were interviewing tonight to my wife, and she said, oh, what's his name? She's like, I'll vote for him. And I think she was completely serious.
Travis, do you want to do a guest update on the one that you waited 5 days to contact?
It wasn't 5 days. Fuck you.
How's that going, Travis? Is it gonna happen? Did you wait too long, buddy? Did he stop responding?
No, he's looking up comments to prove you wrong.
No, I don't take the time out of my life to go look up and try to disprove everybody.
Doesn't dig the head games, maybe?
Sounds like myself. I also don't dig the head
maybe
games.
Maybe he said, maybe this guy doesn't really care about talking to me that much. Maybe I'll just stop responding. Maybe. No?
WFOP! I'm Joe Exotic, and today this is not going out to any kind of a presidential candidate or any politician. The purpose of this video today is to let you know who I am. First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. I currently got legally married. Thank God it's finally legal in America. I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some bitch down there in Florida. But I can tell you, I paid a fine with the USDA, and that is nothing but a civil fine, ladies and gentlemen. That does not mean that I was accused or convicted of any kind of animal cruelty thing. I built one of the biggest facilities and the nicest facilities for exotic animals in this country as far as a private individual goes. I'm Joe Exotic, and don't forget, I am now stepping my foot in the ring to run for president. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America. I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Do you like child hunger? That's right, you don't. So, if you want to fight child hunger, go to www.gofundme.com/PBPHotWings and donate some money today. All the proceeds go to the charity. And on November 12th, you get to watch the host of the Passersby podcast and Dev from Snake Oil Comics and Shot of History eat some of the hottest hot sauces known to man. Live on Facebook. Help fight child hunger and watch some idiots eat some hot wings. Once more, that's www.gofundme.com/PBPHotWings.
What?
they say that the person that you vote for president is the person that you find yourself most willing to go have a beer with. You know, that's what they said about George W. Bush. He seemed like the kind of guy that you go have a beer with.
How'd that turn out?
And I'll tell you what, Mr. Joe Exotic, I would have a beer with Joe Exotic.
At least he has a personality. Look.
I saw the Joe Exotic's videos. I enjoyed them. He looks like the kind of guy that we need, the Joe Exotic.
A man with passion for something.
Having a lot of issues with Skype, though, with Joe.
And that is unfortunate.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer, for sure. But I'm willing to wait this out. Okay. So, Napier, I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not like it hasn't happened, you know, twice tonight already.
Travis?
I'm not willing to wait anything out.
Travis, it's fine. Travis?
Sure?
Yes. Everything is fine.
Can we blame Microsoft?
Travis, it's
what?
Fine. It's fine. Joe!
That's not a good
Joe,
sound.
Joe Exotic.
I can't see the screen, but I didn't like that sound that it made.
It didn't make a good sound, Napier. You're right. Made a bad sound. Live listeners, listen, guys. You didn't hear any of this because this will all be edited in post.
Yeah, just feel good that you got to peek behind the curtain of all these technical difficulties week after week after week. And
right.
Listen to the podcast, and it'd be like it never happened.
Right. You listen back later, and you say, oh, God, those guys pulled that off seamlessly. Did you hear all that they did? They had two guests in one night. That was impressive what they did, those guys.
We are the most professional.
I don't even know what to tell you. But guys, our first guest
was John Fallon.
Our next guest is self-proclaimed Tiger King, owner of the Gerald Wayne Interactive Zoo in Oklahoma, and write-in candidate for president, Mr. Joe Exotic. Joe. Joe, buddy.
It only seems like every time Joe tries to talk is when it cuts out.
He has one of those microphones that shuts off when you talk into it.
That's like that kid from that movie, The Mystery Men, whose power was he could only go invisible when no one was looking.
Hey, he saved the day in the end.
He did save the day.
Joe, buddy, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Joe, I can hear you.
Hey!
Hey, let's do this from the phone instead of Skype.
I am perfectly fine with that, Joe. I'm just happy to talk to you, buddy.
All right, man.
You have the largest privately owned zoo in the United States. You have 214 tigers. Is that correct?
We do have.
What is your meat budget, Joe?
40,000 pounds a week.
40,000 pounds of meat a week?
A week.
Jesus. What meat is it? Is it like shit that nobody else wants, or you got the good
hell
stuff?
No. Yeah, this is good stuff. They eat better than me and you do.
Joe, how do you keep track of 214 tigers? Like if you lost five, how would you even know?
Well, when you run them every day and you're cleaning and feeding cages, you pretty much know when one's missing.
So, you make the rounds in the morning and say hi to all of them, and if one isn't there, then you notice.
Every morning we have to make sure everybody's here before we open up to the public.
See, I don't have 214 friends, I don't think. And so, I mean, I don't think I could remember 214 different tigers. Like, do they all have their own? I assume they all have names. I mean, you don't just call them Tiger Number One.
Every one of them. You know, when people ask me that every day, and it's really no different than a school teacher remembering 200 kids.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, a school teacher would have a lot of kids. See, but the tigers, they all look similar enough that I don't think that I would. I guess you do that for a living, though, so you would probably know.
When you're around them, they all have different faces, different composers.
Well, I mean that really sums up my my tiger questions, Joe. You, of course, are running for president.
Yes, sir.
Which is exciting. I saw some of the posts that you've made and some of your proposals and stuff. The one that intrigued me the most was anyone who is not a citizen of the United States gets charged $35 to enter the country. Like when they get off a plane, we charge them $35.
Correct. And then if they're here over 30 days, they pay $100 a month visiting tax. Let's just call it a visiting tax.
So there's just somebody sitting outside of a plane tarmac and they collect the 30. Where did you come up with the number $35?
Well, believe it or not, you know, a couple weeks ago, I went and visited Belize just to see kind of how their government worked. And they do, when you get off the plane, you pay $37.50. And they collect it right there before you go through the immigration part, you know.
Like, can they break a 40?
You know, they'll take whatever you got, man. But you know, the most interesting part is if you're there more than 30 days, when you go to leave, if you haven't paid your $100 every 30 days, you don't leave. You go to jail.
It's not a bad idea, really, because, I mean, what do they charge to go to fucking Disney World? It's like $150 bucks to go to Disney World. Why wouldn't it be $35 bucks to come to the greatest country on earth?
You know, the best part about that is you have 42 million people here from other countries. Turn that into money and let's pay our health care.
Sure.
And let's reform Medicare to where it's the only insurance company we have. And then the CEOs of Aetna and other companies won't be making $66 million a year as a salary and mean you can't get insurance.
Joe, you got the yard signs and the bumper stickers and stuff? You got all that stuff?
Absolutely.
You passing them out? You selling them on your website or something? Where can people get yard signs and bumper stickers?
You know, for this whole campaign, I don't sell any of it, you know, like the rest of them do. It's people gave me money to buy this stuff, and we're mailing it out for free. So all they have to do is get on Joe Exotic Facebook, send me a private message, and we're still mailing them out by the hundreds.
The yard signs?
Yard signs, bumper stickers, magazines.
Napier, we got to get some of these yard signs, man.
It'll be the first one I have.
Oh, yeah. I've never put a yard sign in my yard, but I'm going to this time. Damn
my
it.
My God, yeah. We mail it out every day.
See, the two main candidates, Joe, they're not very liked. They have like a 65% disapproval rating. So you got yourself a real window there. I feel like if people would have got on the Joe Exotic train earlier... It's kind of late in the game.
You know, unfortunately, the Clinton News Network and nobody else will pick up a third-party candidate early in this election. And I've been running since November of the 11th of last year. And if it wasn't for John Oliver putting me on his show, people still wouldn't know who the hell I am. But, you know, we're going to give them a run for the money this time, and we're going to make them listen to some real solutions. And you bet your ass they're going to send me back in 4 years.
Well, what else do you got, Joe? Do you have other great ideas?
Well, you know, first thing, a couple of the major issues that I have is, you know, Congress in Washington basically, in my eyes, embezzled $2.7 trillion of Social Security. It wasn't theirs to invest, and they make bad investments. And if it was up to me, every one of them that voted or every one of them that agreed to use these elderly people's money without letting them know would either be facing embezzlement charges or every one of them would take a half or 50% pay cut in replacing that money to them. But, you know, Social Security is not going to be around by the time me and you get there. So I say replace Social Security. Let the people that paid it in get it, and let's just cut it off right now. And if you want to save your money your way for your golden years, that's your problem. If you blow it, that's your problem. And then we need to get people back to work. You know, and all anybody does is talk about creating jobs. Well, I don't know how many of them have been out here in the real workforce, but there's a help wanted sign in damn near every store and restaurant there is. Nobody wants to work because everybody's on free food stamps or on welfare. And it's time that we cut all of that free shit and put it back to the people that were really disabled, the people that are really handicapped and can't work. And everybody else go back to work. And I think, you know, I agree with legalizing marijuana nationwide.
Hey. Drunk chimes in.
Hey, now Colorado's making $100,000 a month in sales tax on it, and they're doing wonderful things with it, while Oklahoma is closing schools. And we cut our schools back to 4 days a week so they save electricity. So let's put it out there, and let's tax it, and let's put our teachers back to work, give them a good pay, give them the tools they need to teach kids, and put it back in our schools and our infrastructure in each state. But, you know, people that are on welfare right now basically work for me and you, because we are the taxpayers, and we're the ones paying for that welfare. So anybody that's on welfare ought to have to do the same thing as community service to earn that welfare, you know?
You know, when I saw you saying that, Joe, you said that people on welfare that are actually physically able to work should do some kind of community service to work that off. I was thinking, how come we don't build neat shit anymore? Like, you know, we could have like pyramids or something, like make pyramids with people who are, you know, able to work.
Yeah, we don't do anything.
We don't do anything. I mean, just give them something to do. They can make neat stuff that people would come visit.
All you hear Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton talking about is, you know, the poverty part of town, you know, Chicago and New York and all of these cities that have, you know, the poverty stricken areas. Well, let's get these community service people out there and clean up, paint and
oh, sure.
fix up and do something. You know, there's just so many good solutions. But unfortunately, politicians are the ones taking the money from the special interest groups and the big corporations and everything else. And they can't think on our level.
Joe, is there a tiger in the background? What does that sound?
That is a hyena, believe it or not.
Travis.
Sounds like big, doesn't it?
Travis, Joe's got a hyena behind him right now.
I hear him.
I'm looking at two Jagoffs with McDonald's cups.
Joe's got hyenas
around him. He lives a different life than you and me.
I would be scared constantly.
What would be different than now, Napier?
Fair enough.
Yeah, but that's the way that we can fix our immigration problem. That's the way we can fix our health problem. We can fix Social Security. We can put people back to work that are able to work. And, you know, it's just we've got to get politics out of people's lives. The one thing I don't agree with is, you know, everybody says the American dream, and here you are. You work your whole life, you can afford to go in business, and you have a business, and you aren't even allowed in this country to pick your clientele of what kind of people you want in your business. You know, city council people, make legal force people to smoke in your restaurant or smoke in your bar. You have no rights in this country whatsoever, and it's time that we give them back to us. You know, and then you got Governor Kasich over there in Ohio. He's one of the crookedest sons of bitches I've ever seen.
Kasich? I guess you deal with him firsthand. See, I just saw him on the TV running for president, and he seemed like a friendly enough guy. He's not a good guy.
He might be friendly, but a lot of people out there don't realize what he's doing to the Ohio taxpayers right now. He's sending in SWAT teams.
Okay? You know who he kind of reminded me of? He reminded me of Beavis and Butthead's principal. You know, the guy, he's kind of shaky. And, oh, Beavis and Butthead. You remember that guy, Napier, right?
Yep.
That's who he reminded me of.
He's sending SWAT teams right now to people's homes, removing their animals, and giving $6.5 million of taxpayer money to his buddies out of state to move them animals out of state. You know, and that's another one of my big old complaints is nonprofits in this country. We lose $56 billion a year to nonprofits in this country, just like Hillary Clinton found.
You mean like the PETA and stuff?
PETA, the Humane Society, churches, Joel Osteen, the whole nine yards, you know? And the only nonprofits we need in this country are life-saving hospitals. All the rest of them need to be abolished, and they all need to pay taxes on that money.
Mike, did you know that nonprofits, especially like religious groups too, not only are they tax exempt, but they are also eligible for like statewide grants and things?
Yeah.
So like they will take our tax money and give it to like churches and like, you know, just like church societies, but they are not forced to pay taxes on any of the money that they bring in.
There's so many churches. There's so many. And I think we just need to consolidate them all into one big church mall.
Who the hell needs $8 million church to talk to God when you can just stand there? I've never understand that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go look up at the sky like a satellite dish.
Hey, all you got to do is legalize that marijuana and everybody can talk to God.
And we can put our teachers back to work.
That's right. I did see you brought up Oklahoma. I think that with the school system there, I think it was the first time I'd ever seen that the bunch of school districts went to like 4-day school days because they couldn't afford to have all 5 days of school.
Right. But, you know, they can afford to sue Colorado because people are driving from Oklahoma to Colorado to buy marijuana. But they're not smart enough to tax that shit.
Unbelievable. It's nice to hear somebody talk. You know, you look at the two main candidates and all they do is talk about how one of them's no good and the other one says that one's no good. And it's funny because there's like no message anymore when you get down to the nitty gritty. Nobody has any plans. It's just this guy sucks or this gal sucks and vote for me instead.
That does seem to be the common message is, hey, at least I'm better than this shithead.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to not hear about what these people will actually do if given the given the president of the United States.
I mean, Joe's given us good ideas, which is more than I've heard in 3 full debates.
I completely agree. In the 10 minutes we've been talking to Joe, I've heard more talk of actual issues than, like you said, yeah, all 3 of the debates. Unbelievable.
You know, the sad part is, guys, in the United States of America, because of lobbyists and because of special interest groups, a dog has more rights and draws more attention than an elderly person locked in a nursing home.
Kind of screwed up?
Very screwed up.
And I think that people will see you, Joe. I mean, you're a colorful character, and I think that people might dismiss you before they even really get to hear what you have to say. But I think you got good ideas, man.
Me too.
You know, I think over the next 4 years, because I'm not going to give this up. Over the next 4 years, people that have already got to know me and people that have already read most of my ideas, and I get emails every day. I just posted one on Facebook that I got tonight. You know, a lady saw the John Oliver show. She called and ordered a bumper, and when she ripped the magazine in there, she sat down and actually read my platform, and she emailed me back and was like, wow, I'm blown away. This is actually what you want to do for our country, and nobody else wants to talk about it. So I think, guys, as long as I stay on this road, I think in 4 more years, you're going to see some national polls change a little bit.
Have you considered other office, like a governor or a House representative seat or something like that?
Well, you know, I kind of threw around a different plan here a couple of weeks ago because our Congress, you know, person here in my district in Oklahoma is up for election November 8th, but it's only a 2-year term. So in 2 years, I could run against him and win and be a congressman for a year before I throw my hat back in the race to run as president.
Yeah, you get your foot in the door. You say, hey, I got some experience now.
Betcha. You betcha. So that kind of seems like the plan I'm going to go for is to, in 2 years, in a year, I'll actually be able to run. So I'm going to run as a congressman in 2018, and then I'll run for president starting 2019 for the 2020 election. And I think I'll get a little more attention that way, but I'm probably going to have to end up changing parties because, you know, in America, it's against the law for an independent to debate a Republican or Democrat. So that's never going to work. So I'm going to have to jump into a different party when I go to run as Congress. So that way I have the same rights and the same playing field as the Republicans and the Democrats do.
So let's speak hypothetically. Let's say 4 years down the road, Joe Exotic wins the election and becomes our next president. Do you bring the Tigers to the White House?
You damn straight. You know, I was I was on a talk show 2 nights ago, and they asked the same question. And, you know, everybody else has a dog, a Shih Tzu, a Lhasa.
Oh, or sure. You're bringing 214 tigers.
Buddy. And we're going to build a zoo right there in the front of that big old yard, and we're going to open it up for free to the public, and we're going to start teaching people about the habitat in the wild where these animals need to live.
Joe, man, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. We appreciate all that you're doing. Hey, guys, you message Joe Exotic, and you get yourself a yard sign, because we need to make America exotic again.
That's absolutely right, guys. Hey, I can't thank you enough for having me on, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yeah, Joe, let's do it again sometime, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Travis.
Yeah.
I fucking love that guy.
We need to keep in contact with Joe Exotic.
You know what? I'm not bullshitting, Travis. The ideas that he said, that make sense to me.
All good ideas.
Might be crazy, but guy's making a lot of sense with that $35 getting off the plane.
We gotta do something.
That's what they always say. See, everybody's always talking about the terrorists coming in, and we got to keep the terrorists out. But what about these jagoffs that are coming here and just hanging out for a year? Yeah, right. Charge them $100 a month.
Crashing with some gal they met at a tavern, some like college chick, and the mooching off her and not doing anything around here.
We got Carla in the chat room. Carla's a Joe Exotic fan. God bless you, Carla.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of Joe Exotic. I really do. It is funny, like, how he has brought up more actual problems that we have in the country and some sort of solutions. Like you said, maybe a couple of them might be a little bit off kilter, but, I mean, nobody else is coming up with anything that is actually going to make any kind of change.
Look at the guy, I'd say Joe Exotic kind of looks like Diamond Dallas Page a little bit.
It's mixed with... Like what? Like Billy Ray Cyrus?
He wears sequined shirts. He's a flashy dresser. People might look at Joe Exotic and they might say, "Oh, this guy, he's a kookadoodle." But not me, Travis. I'm on Team Joe Exotic.
Me too.
He's my guy. I'm writing his ass in.
What's it hurt?
I was for that Gary Johnson, but he's kind of wacky. He keeps doing weird stuff, Travis. I don't like him. I'm getting a Joe Exotic yard sign, putting it in my yard.
Is Johnson
Napier
the one?
Next week when you come do the show? I'm gonna have a damn Joe Exotic sign in my front yard.
Well, you should get two so I can take one with me.
There you go. Boom.
Mega three. Fuck.
You want one drunk? You put one in your yard?
I'll put one in my yard.
We're gonna make this place exotic again. Dude's got 214 tigers drunk.
Hey, he's talking about legalizing weed, so I'm all for him.
Yep. Anybody that can live with 214 of those animals is braver than me.
And hyenas, not just the tigers. There's also hyenas, and they're very close to him.
Travis, I'm just going to call Joe Exotic back next week. We're just going to talk to Joe Exotic every week. That's what we're going to do at the end of the show. We're going to call Joe Exotic, see what he's up to.
Every week to the election?
He's my hero.
I like it.
His place is 8 hours away.
Like he said, it might be a little bit too late for him this year for president, but I think if he does stick to that plan that he's got laid out ahead of him and runs for Congress and things, I think you have a legitimate chance of seeing Joe Exotic in the House.
Travis, being in the House of Representatives, it's attainable.
Right.
I mean, you get a little buzz.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that many people that vote for that shit. You get in there.
If he can drive the people who don't normally vote for those positions, it shouldn't be difficult for him to get into the House.
Especially on like an off year.
Right.
Well, the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program, you guys.
The official candidate of WFOD.
We fully endorse Joe Exotic for president. That is our that is Mike's pick of the week.
When did you start doing that and why?
Like a week ago.
What else we got, guys? Drunk, is there something you want the people to know about? I'm sorry we went long this week, but it was worth it. You know, it was worth it.
Nope, got nothing.
Napier?
I'm going to ask that everybody, I don't care what your religious beliefs are, but really, if you're going to Red Lobster to eat with all of your friends and family, don't talk about Doomsday.
Oh, jeez Louise, dude.
At an obnoxious level, too.
That's it. Next week, I'm coming up with a whole fucking script, and it's just nothing but Doomsday shit.
Travis.
I'm a little behind on my Spooky Month movie watching, but the best is yet to come for me. I have the WNUF Halloween special ready for me, Trick or Treat, and Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, so I'm pretty excited about that. And everybody should go run out and get those peanut butter cups with the Reese's Pieces in them. And vote Joe Exotic.
Vote Joe Exotic.
And vote other things, too. I mean, like, you know, I usually whack all the judges.
That's
I just
a
whack
common
all
thing.
The judges.
Why
fuck,
is that a common
them.
Thing here?
I just whack all of them. You know, I don't know. I just figured, you know, if there was a judge worth knowing about that I should vote for, then I'd know about him. Because he'd be doing radical shit. Ain't nobody doing nothing radical. Ain't nobody doing anything worth a shit. So I whack them all.
Whack them all.
Guys, we'll be back next week. Not live, but we will have a show. We appreciate all of you hanging out. Hey, send us an email over at WFODshow@gmail.com or Travis@WFODix.com if you have any thoughts, suggestions. And be sure to check out John Fallon's movie, The Shelter, and vote Joe Exotic. If you check out Joe Exotic's Facebook page. Jesus
also,
Christ, there's a lot of shit going on over there.
Or they can
after
do this
after you guys
too,
watch
right?
The Shelter out there, send me what you think it was about. I'm curious to what everybody else
it's
thinks.
A cautionary philandering tale, Travis.
That's your take. John Fallon said it's a little more religious than that. I have my own theories that I choose not to share.
If
I'd like
you,
to put up other people.
If you
no.
cheat on your wife, supernatural shit starts happening.
See, I think it was a pro-cheating message. I think there was already supernatural stuff happening, and that's how he was trying to get rid of it, was by having an affair.
Well, that's my mama.
Somewhere adrift amongst these clouds, I find my heroine. Oh, I've been left. I've been left. Never coming home. Never coming home. Never coming home. Coming home. Ooh, I'm never coming home.
want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzania, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. If you go to WFODix.com and look under the Extras tab, you'll find a link to our Patreon. That gives you the opportunity to donate your hard-earned dollars to support the amateur cocksuckers who do that podcast you're considering removing from your iTunes library. Look, it's there if you want it. If not, just click on something else, like our outdated bio or the collection of songs Napier butchered. We're just happy you exist. The world is a cold, cold place without those sweet, sweet likes.
But this shit is screwed up!
Ooh. I got that head nod shit that make you break your neck.
Ooh.